And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, April 28th, 2018. It's Season 12, Episode 16, and I am Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
Welcome to the show, everybody. And before we get started, we'll do this real quick, if I can open it up. Snap, snap. Hey, welcome to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can also find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Head over to twitch.tv. Type in ingamechat. You'll be able to find us and watch us live while we broadcast. You can find us there, and you can also join in the chat room live with everyone as well while we do the show. And we'll talk to you every now and again when we're paying attention to the chat room, which we are, yep. But it's the same old there with Lethal Migraine throwing out the shade on the hack slashes and the God of War. Which God of War, by the way, I've not played. I should go ahead and throw that out there when we go over the... What have you played recently?
I had a coworker at work tell me that he asked me, "Have you played it yet?" I'm like, "No, I haven't." He's like, "Oh, it was really good."
So. I've been told plenty of times.
I've heard it from a couple people.
Oddly enough, since I've had it in the machine, it's updated I think twice now. Because I'll turn on the machine and I'll look, and it's like, "Bing, downloaded God of War update." I was like, "Okay, got another update. Nice." As far as I can tell from everything that I've read, there really hasn't been any kind of significant updates as far as, you know, we've tweaked this or changed that. Basically. Just some performance upgrades for one thing that I think applied to 4K stuff, which doesn't apply to me, and the text size was increased for subtitles and stuff, so that's about it that I can think of. So, anyway, make sure everything's on silent. I feel like I've been rushed. Welcome
Just
to the show.
Just because you
were. I guess I was. I shouldn't have been, but I guess I was. Been here. A good bit of time to get everything ready. So, as far as what I played, I haven't played anything. I played the demo for Detroit, and we'll get into that, which is the new game from David Cage and Quantic Dream.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The new game from David Cage, Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls.
Fahrenheit.
I was going to say Indigo Prophecy, but you can go Fahrenheit, which is exactly the same thing.
Slight difference.
Very slight, but yes.
Uncensored.
Uh-huh. But yes, so that is really all I have played at all. Don't forget, also, during the show today, we're going to be talking with Twisted Pixel. That is coming up at the next hour, at the top of the next hour, just like we did last week with Rand Miller. So, yeah, Twisted Pixel will be on the show. They're going to talk about we're going to talk about their new VR game called Defector. But I kind of want to go a little bit into the past there, if I am able, and to talk about the transition that they've gone from...
Platformers?
2D side-scrollers
yeah.
to... Well, LocoCycle was a departure from the 2D side-scrollers, but it was still a... It was a beat-em-up. It was still very whatever.
But that was a Kinect title, right?
No. Gunstringer was a Kinect
Gunstringer,
title.
That's right.
Gunstringer was a Kinect title. LocoCycle was an Xbox One launch title.
Okay.
This back when Microsoft owned them.
Yeah.
Which they do not anymore. Microsoft does not own Twisted Pixel anymore. So, but yeah, I'm interested in the. Once LocoCycle released, these guys went silent for a long time. and I'm kind of curious as to what all happened there.
Maybe just restructuring.
They had some personnel changes, I know.
Relicking wounds.
Because I ran into one of them at PAX South.
And there was someone else?
Well, it was Josh Bear, who's been with the company since we've been interviewing him. I ran into him. I was like, oh, my God. He was talking with Jeff Keighley, actually. No. Who's the other guy? Adam.
Sessler.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He was talking with Sessler. I saw him out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, okay, well, make sure and go over there and say hello, but don't sit there and stand waiting for the conversation to finish. Because
I
had nothing left to do with this party. I was done. It was a party for the it was a game that GameStop was releasing from Insomniac Games, but GameStop had the publishing rights for it.
I didn't know GameStop had got it.
Right. It was called Deep Ocean, something like that. You piloted a submersible around underwater.
Song of the Sea, Deep Silver.
Deep Blue Sea? No, that was a movie.
GameSpot. It's
Song of the Sea.
Yak. Did I spell that right? Was it Insomniac Games?
Deep Blue something?
See, once I typed in Insomniac, it's all... it may not have been Insomniac Games. I cannot remember. It may not have been Insomniac Games. GameStop published game. I have to look at this.
It was the Song of the Deep?
Song of the Deep.
Yeah.
Is that Insomniac Games?
I'm looking it up now, but it's on the first thing I see from GameStop, yeah.
Who's the developer on that?
Let's see.
If you can find out for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we do the show. We research right here live on the air.
Spur of the moment. No prep.
It's yeah.
Part of our charm.
Song of the Deep.
Yeah.
Insomniac Games was the developer. Man, I had no idea. I really should have...
Paid attention?
I really should have rubbed noses with those guys, since now they've got Spider-Man under their belt. Yeah. And are releasing that in September. Yeah. I really had nothing left to do. I was done. And then I saw Josh, and I was like, man, I have not seen that guy in forever. And he recognized me, and we chit-chatted for a while. And, I was asked him how Mike was, because we had him and Mike on the show, and Mike had left the company in between now and then. Went off, got married, had a kid, and he left the company. And he was a founder.
Off to doing other things.
He was one of the founders of the company. And I think I'm still friends with him on Facebook, actually. But he was gone. Josh was still there. He was telling me, hey, we're working on some stuff, but this is going way back. So they were probably at the time working on Wilson's Heart, which was a VR game that got released not too long ago, to not so great reviews. And then now they're doing Defector, which is another VR title. And I'm really kind of curious if these guys are just sticking with the VR thing or if they're, I don't know. Going to figure out what's going on there. So we're going to be talking to them at the top of the hour here. As far as games, I have not played anything other than Detroit Become Human. That is all that I have played this week. And I want to talk about that, but these guys have not yet played that demo. I'm not going to be spoiling anything when I do talk about it, but...
I want to know... are you going to talk about it later? Or?
Yeah, we could talk about it now.
All right, so...
Talk about it now.
I haven't seen the trailer for it. Know a little bit about the branching storyline, stuff like that. You're an android, I'm assuming. Do you want to play the game in full now, or... Are you more like, all right, I did the demo, I'm not interested? You know, did it push you one way or the other?
I was already committed to getting the game.
Okay.
So the
Steelbook?
No.
They have a Steelbook coming
out? Is there one?
Yeah.
No. They released, I can't remember if it was, it was one of the PlayStation conferences where they released more information about this in-game. In fact, they did a live playthrough of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember when they did this, and I was like, oh, this is not going to go well. Just like I remember when they tried to do Until Dawn, a live playthrough. Should I do this or should I do that? So they did a live playthrough of Detroit, and they actually played this demo that they've given us, where he goes in, and you're able to look at pictures, and you're able to find out.
Is it the father and the daughter? Is that part of the demo?
No.
Is that section of it?
No. This is you're an android investigating a crime.
Okay, because I've seen like the trailer and they had that part where.
Yeah, I think you've also seen what I'm talking about. Okay.
The only two I've seen was the one with the father and daughter and the android intervening, and it was a android officer investigating something.
Right. This is an android officer investigating something, which leads you to the outside of the apartments where he's holding the child hostage.
Yeah, something on the roof, the hostage situation on the roof, yeah, that one.
Yeah, and so this is the demo. This is the part of the demo that you play. After I saw that playthrough, I was committed to it because of the way that it was designed, the layout and everything else. It looked like it was going back to Heavy Rain roots where things mattered, choices made sense, choices mattered, or you had choices to begin with. Mm-hmm. Because if it was going the Beyond Two Souls route, I would not be interested whatsoever. I did not like that game.
Still need to play it.
Yeah, I didn't.
I mean, just because I haven't played it. I was curious about it, and I'm thinking about getting that double pack for the PS4.
Sure, go ahead. Is it on PS Plus? Wasn't it on PS Plus?
It may have been.
I thought it was at one point.
The Heavy Rain Beyond Two Souls pack?
No, just Beyond Two Souls.
If it was, it was probably just the PS3 version.
It may have been. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I didn't like that. It gave you one choice at the end. It was not a yes or no, but it was you do this or you do this. And it was, I wasn't all that impressed with it. However, this gives you a more Heavy Rain situation. You go through and you don't necessarily have to do all of this stuff. You can just
not.
You can skip a lot of the. Well, no, no, no. You can skip a lot of the investigation, but this limits your options later on when you deal with the hostage situation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You don't know the android's name unless you do an investigation. You don't know why he's upset because you don't find out that they're going to replace him with a new android. You don't know the relationship between him and the little girl. And how close they were, that sort of thing.
I was thinking more along the lines of something you could tell the hostage taker to unnerve him or get him to calm down.
If you can play him, or if you can play to the relationship that he has with the girl that he's keeping hostage, mm-hmm. you can work on that. If you play to the fact that yes, they were going to replace you, and we know how that is, but we're going to get you fixed or something, you can work into that to kind of stabilize the situation. Mm-hmm. And also, you can go straight out there and not have any sort of a gun, which if you had done some investigation, you would find one that you could use possibly if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. So, and by the way, as soon as you're done playing it, it opens up what's called a flowchart.
Okay.
Which everybody knows what flowcharts are, but this is a flowchart for the game. This is fantastic. This is something I wish they had in Heavy Rain. So you go through and you look at the flow chart, and it starts with where the demo starts. And it's basically you enter crime scene. Then that path branches. Instead of you going to this room, you went to this room and uncovered this. Although you could also have gone back and unlocked that part too, mm-hmm. which would have unlocked more branches. And so
you can backtrack.
You can't backtrack to a specific place, but you can replay the scene over with those options already unlocked on your flow chart, and then do the opposite. Okay. Like any time it had, they're all grayed out until you actually do them. But there's one where you find a gun, right?
Right.
So you investigated the dead body. So that was one you unlocked, which had another branch to go to. Where did you find the gun? Mm-hmm. Well, you found the gun. Great. That had another branch that went to, did you take the gun or did you leave the gun? So if you take the gun and you go back and look at your flow chart, there's another option just above it that's still blacked out. Which is just, you left it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of those like that, where you find something. Did you leave it? Did you take it? Did you say yes or did you say no? You know? So you can kind of defer. But it goes all the way, and then it shows you it doesn't show you all of them, but it shows you how many endpoints there are and what you've unlocked.
Interesting.
Yeah. Man. I only unlocked two.
Out of, do you know how many?
One, two, three, five, I think.
Okay.
Five different ways that could have ended. Mm-hmm. So there was at one point, and one of the, they call them game changers. There was a, one of the endings that I unlocked had a game changer icon on it, basically because I killed the character that I was playing.
Oh.
He went to the the hostage was going to just fall off the building. He's like, I'm going to make my decisions now. And he just starts to lean back to fall off. Mm-hmm. You rush, grab old girl, and pull her towards, but as your momentum carries you over. So you pull her into safety, but you fall over with the defective android, mm-hmm. which essentially kills your character, which is a thing apparently in this game you can do.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't that have happened in Heavy Rain?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have. Yeah.
It could have, yeah. It happens in Until Dawn as well, which is not, yeah. obviously I know that's not Quantum Dream. No, I know that's not the same.
It's like sort of branching.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing. There's some decisions that'll lead you to death, some lead you to life, you know, a lot of things here and there. Same, the what's called the butterfly effect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one decision early, change something in the end, something like that. Same thing here.
Yeah. So it's a really good demo. It's a very quick demo.
Oh, allows for multiple playthroughs. See all
but it allows for multiple playthroughs. So you can go through this thing. I mean, again, every time you play through it, you do have to go and, you know, if you want different branches unlocked, you still have to kind of do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, if I didn't shoot him in one, and I want to, well, then I've got to go back and I've got to make sure I find the gun. Mm-hmm. The problem with this is that when I walk into that room, I can see the gun where it's at because I played it before. I didn't notice it the first time, mm-hmm. but I can see the gun where it's at. But I can't go over there and pick it up until I've investigated the body and discovered it until the android that you're playing as has discovered that.
Well, it makes sense, really.
Yeah.
You see it there, pick it up. If you want to.
Yeah, I couldn't get him to pick it up until I had done the investigation of the body. And when you do an investigation of the body, there's some investigative scenes that you do where you move the cursor, whatever. You move the on-screen cursor over to a certain object in what you're looking at. And then you hold down a button for it to kind of scan it, and it gives you some info. And then you find something else in that picture, and you scan it. So each investigative scene has 2 to 3 to 4 things for you to scan. Once you scan them all, it builds a reconstruction. Mm-hmm. So then you look at the reconstruction, and then you're in Batman Arkham Origins territory, where mm-hmm. you can fast forward the crime scene, rewind the crime scene, looking at wireframes of things happening. And when you do that, you can find other things that you can investigate and realize and make determinations. So I investigated the body of the officer who got shot. Mm-hmm. And it gives me an ID on the guy, and it gives me where he was shot. And once I do that, I can reconstruct how that scene played out. I can see that he shot the android, but I can also see that the android shot him. And then it notices two things. One, on the ground, it notices a footprint. And so when you scan that, it says, okay, the little girl was here and witnessed this incident. And then after the police officer gets shot, he gets blown back and throws his gun. Mm-hmm. So when you pan the camera around for the reconstruction, you can find the gun and scan it. That's when you notice the gun. Then you can go over there and look at the gun, pick it up. It gives you some information, and you have the choice. Take it, leave it. Mm-hmm. If you take it and you go outside, the guy says, are you armed? You have a chance there to lie or tell the truth. You know, you can lie to him and say, no, I don't have a gun, which will let you use that gun later. Or you can tell him that you do have the gun, and that opens up another branch of dialogue mm-hmm. and things to talk about. So that is a lot of what that Detroit demo was. I don't think this is a full game, obviously. It's not just going to be things like this. I'm obviously playing a android who does investigations. So I'm curious what the other people that I'll play in the game.
We know for one, the housekeeper. In the drunken father and daughter section,
But her not being on the police force, does that mean can she investigate things? Or I don't know how it works.
Yeah, she's going to play some role, of course.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
It's like Heavy Rain had a bunch of different people doing different things. So yeah, it doesn't matter.
I'm eager to find out how that all works. But yeah. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it, and it gave me hope that hey, this will be a fun game to play, especially with all the different ways you can play it. Mm-hmm. So I was already committed to buying it when I saw some of the demos. I was like, oh, when that comes out, I'm interested in it. Yeah. This demo has some... I have one issue so far with the demo. Let's make it two. Controls are kind of clunky with moving your character.
That's kind of all the David Cage games I've
probably
played.
Probably.
Yeah.
All the way back to Fahrenheit. They're kind of... You know, the controls were kind of clunky.
Yeah. The other problem I have with it is that if you hold a PS4, you hold a PS4 controller, and you can get that. If you're holding a PS4 controller, right?
Right.
Left stick moves, you know, usually moves things, and you have the right thumb free to press buttons on the face of the controller.
Right.
So when you go into these investigative things, and you have to move the little thing around to find, you know, where a person was shot or the make of a bullet, that a bull shell shell casing that's on the ground or something like that. Mm-hmm. To move that around, you move it with your right thumbstick. It's the most non-intuitive thing. You move it with the right thumbstick to hover it over it, and then you have to press one of the face buttons to scan it. It's horrible.
when your thumb leaves the analog stick, does the camera stay where it's at?
The camera stays where it's at. You're just basically you're looking at a still screen.
Yeah.
Okay. With a cursor moving around the screen. I'm at a loss for words at what I could call it to make it better.
Some icon, some bullseye.
It's just an icon that's kind of scanning the area, and you're looking for the clues.
Reticle.
And when you find one, you press the triangle, you hold it down so it scans it so you can get information about it.
Okay.
It's just non-intuitive. I want to move the left stick. The first thing I did, I wanted to move the left stick to where it goes and then hit the button.
That makes sense.
Yeah. They want me to move the right, and so it feels weird. So those would be my only two complaints so far.
Well, maybe when the full version comes out, there'll be some type of option to change something.
I would love that to be the case. It's a small little nitpick, and it's something I easily got used to, but it's just that whole...
It was still on your mind throughout the whole...
Right, the whole... Because every time I would go and investigate, I'd move that little thumb, and I was like, oh, yeah, he wants me to move the other one. Ugh. Just really annoyed me. Mm-hmm. But that is it for you. That's Detroit. That's what's been played. So there. What about you, RJ?
I've been playing nothing but Street Fighter V. We had a new character come out for Season 3. Falca. I'm probably saying it wrong. F-A-L-K-E. Falk. I'll just go with Falk. Falk. You know, just the new character, seeing how everybody uses her, and going through the Capcom Fighters Network, seeing how everybody used her, played against her, tips and tricks on how to... defend against her or use her in this case. Not a bad character, a little slow for my taste, but I think everybody's have a pretty good positive outlook on her. But right now I'm just waiting for the last two characters, Cody, G, and Sagat. And that's going to come out later throughout the rest of the year. That's all I've been playing, really.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know why I would think you'd be playing anything else, to be honest with you.
Well, I was playing the show, but I was working on Street Fighter V for the time being.
Right.
I'll get back into it eventually.
You got a tournament coming up or anything?
No.
Final round already done?
Final round was March.
Okay.
Mid-March, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
I'm totally out of it.
Karaoke? Anything?
No. Never done karaoke.
Matt, what about you?
So the new Hitman Elusive Target's out.
Okay.
Haven't had a chance to do it. Because I didn't want to start it before I had to go to the show and pause it and then whatever. So I will probably do that either later on today or tomorrow.
Okay.
Hopefully, mm-hmm. or Monday. But I'm excited about that. I did the other one that was out and succeeded, which is always fun. Actually, it was set in Paris. I forget which. The Fixer, I think it was. But it was actually one of the quickest elusive targets I've ever done. I have one of my items I have is a phone with explosives. And so I knew the guy was roughly where he was going to be at, and sort of close to a starting section.
Mm-hmm.
Ran over there, saw the guy, threw the phone on the ground, started running towards the exit. He picked it up, I blew it up, and left. I'm like, well, that was easy.
Hmm. But you have another phone to activate it, or something?
Has a little trigger.
Okay.
Once you're successful with that, can you go through and replay it again?
No.
Is that, oh, man.
That's it.
It'd be nice if you were successful in it.
Then it's unlocked
for you. You can now go and try different ways.
Yeah.
Get a better time or something to put on leaderboards or something like that. I miss the celebrity ones, though. That was the ones that were
Gary Busey?
Yeah, were fun, funny to me.
I hope that he'll be in the, because they're reactivating the old ones, you mm-hmm. know. So I'm hoping he'll be in the reactivation because I missed it the first time around.
Oh, okay.
And I would love to try and find Gary Busey and, you know, take out him and possibly Gary Cole at the same time.
Yeah, I've had missed opportunities in Street Fighter V, too. They had some extra battles and you can get extra costumes and things like that. It was like something for the head, something for the body, something for the like it was like four pieces overall.
Okay.
And I missed the first piece of the day, and but it was gone. By the time I got the next three, it was like, it's over. You missed it. So I know that feeling about how missing something the first time around, hoping you can get it back.
Yeah. What I have been playing, though, is second season of Batman, Telltale.
Okay.
I did the first two missions.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess not missions, but, you know, chapters. So, you know, doing that. And Battletech released on Tuesday.
And that's right.
I have been playing Battletech.
Yeah. How was that?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, you might have a lot to say. It's already 4:30, so we need to take a break. Who's on the phone?
Chris.
It's Chris? Okay, I'll get Chris real quick, and then we'll go to our break here. Hey, Chris.
What's going on, y'all?
Not much, man. About to take a break here, but I wanted to get you in before we did, so you wouldn't have to wait.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about wanting to get God of War for a while, and I went shopping today and got a coupon from GameStop to use on a used game, and lo and behold, they had the collector's edition like you've got with the figurine, so I said, yeah, what the heck, I'll go ahead and get it.
Yeah, I didn't think those would be available.
I didn't either, but he happened to tell me, oh, yeah, we've got one that got a wars with the figurine, and said, yeah, why not?
I wonder if it was someone who pre-ordered it and just didn't, just change their
I
mind
think
at the end.
That's what it was.
There's two versions of that, by the way. They both come with the they both come with the statue, but there's two versions of the statue edition. Yeah, there's one that throws in like it's really minuscule. I think you get three extra things for like an extra, I don't know, $30 or something like that, like a keychain and maybe I think you get a cloth map. You get a cloth map, a keychain, and something else that comes with it. And they and oddly enough, they found a secret using the cloth map.
Really?
Yeah, the God of War community found a secret with the cloth map. There's Norse runes mm-hmm. written along the edge of the map.
And they deciphered the runes?
They deciphered the runes, which led them on this weird quest. And they mapped out they mapped out the quest on the map itself. They said, okay, well, it wants us to go here. So they went to where all these different places. It eventually led them to one tower. It was two different people. The inscription on the map were of two different people, and they had two different paths that both ended up at the same spot. If you go to that spot, and I can't remember what it is. I've got the article saved somewhere. If you go to that spot and you input the directions in your controller, you know, north, west, north, north, west, west, and south, blah, 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 mm-hmm. all the way through, mm-hmm. You unlock some piece of gear.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I'll have to remember that when I get mine out.
I think it's a God of War Stonemason Edition.
Yes, the Stonemason Edition, yeah. Yes.
150. Yeah, full game, 9-inch statue, limited steelbook case, 2-inch.
Which comes with the regular big special edition that Chris picked up.
Yeah, hold your brother's carving.
Yeah, because mine was like 150, 160 or something with attached, if I remember correctly. Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it was just interesting what they were able to do. You know, people actually deciphered Norse runes. And
yeah, I like things like that. That makes your day, doesn't it?
Yeah, Google it up, look it up, and find it so that you can look at that and you know see exactly what all went into finding this whole thing out.
And I'm guessing now that it's out on the internet, if you don't have the $150 edition, you could just follow the directions off.
Yeah,
the
you could
see, that's cool.
YouTube.
Yeah, you could Redbox the thing and be able to get the item. So yeah. Why pay when other people will do the work for you, right?
Yeah. But I mean, it's neat that they.
But you know, no, I love stuff like that, man. It's
they
like
put that in there.
It's like the whole thing that people have been searching forever in GTA 5
at the UFO. Or the
yeah, at the big mountain over there.
Yeah, yeah. Chilead.
Yes, loved that stuff. So yeah. Well, anyway, Chris, thanks for calling in, man.
All right, I wanted to call you last time, but y'all were busy with the interview and all. But I did. Tune into it. So y'all have a good one, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, dude. Thanks, man.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of In-Game Chat right after this. There's music that has a theme. I don't know.
Have you given up on the themes already?
I haven't, but it's hard to do when you have an interview.
Okay.
Because I'm trying, because I want to play music from the games of the people we talk to.
So the theme is games from music from Twisted Pixel.
Right. No. You will hear Twisted Pixel songs, but there is a theme, with the exception, I believe, of one of the Twisted Pixel songs. That we were using, one of the songs we use, I think, to open up the interview is for Loco Cycle.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one you don't need to worry about. But everything else has a connection. It is not a very deep one. It's actually a very general connection that these have. So think kind of wide open. Don't think very small. Think very wide open as far as what you're going to hear today. So
okay.
If you want to try and guess this. The first thing we've got here is, this goes back to a game that I remembered really enjoying, but never actually finished because I didn't get the rest of the episodes. Pity Arcades on the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness.
Yeah. Remember that.
This is called Fighting the Enemy. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. That was music from Mark of the Ninja, called Ninja Drums.
That makes sense.
Descriptively enough.
If it was Ninja Accordion, that wouldn't make much sense.
No, it wouldn't. Might have made for a better title, though.
Ninja Polka.
You know, just something. Ninja Drums, there you go.
You know what, that might actually exist.
Ninja Polka?
Ninja Polka?
That might actually exist, just because you said that.
I doubt it.
To the internet.
Quick, to the internet. Anyway, back to... Well, you wanted to tell us about Battletech.
I'll tell you later.
Did you find Ninja Polka?
There's something on YouTube called Ninja Polka.
Oh, right.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice. Post that in the chat room so we can look it over first and see what it is. But anyway, Battletech.
Yes.
Tell us about
Battletech.
It.
Man, I really wish that
you're the only one who could tell us about it because I have not played this, and nor do I have desire to. Just it's not my world.
It's not your wheelhouse.
Mm-mm.
I wish Kevin would have told me, let me know, like, that the demo would have been, you know, this fun, and I should have played it because I'm enjoying it so much right now.
Oh, it's even better then.
Yeah,
I love going in blind to something and really, really finding something that I really love.
That's
now, it's in your, again, this is in your wheelhouse, so.
I used to play, full disclosure, I guess, I used to play the tabletop Battletech back in the 80s.
Okay.
It was one of the very first tabletop games I played.
I did not.
You know, the same time I was playing D&D, which is, D&D is different than, the tabletop aspect of, because you had the miniatures and, they're all, role-playing games in a way, but we would have our miniatures out, and we would play our games. So I've been a fan of the Battletech universe since the 80s.
Right.
And
I knew you'd been a big fan.
MechWarrior,
I knew this was something you were really looking forward to.
I've played the MechWarrior games. I love them. Mech Commander, all that stuff. So going into this feels like the tabletop experience only on a computer.
Okay.
It is turn-based, which I enjoy. It's turn-based strategy. In this atmosphere, I enjoy. Sometimes I like a real-time strategy, when I play Shadow Shadow of the Ninja or Shadow Tactics.
Okay.
You know, that's more real-time strategy, you know, but the turn-based strategy is just fantastic. I'm still, you know, starting out pretty relatively early in the campaign. I've done a couple of skirmishes with Kevin. Actually, two. One of them, we lost connection, and the other one we played last night, and actually my Lance of 4 mechs beat his Lance of 4. So that was kind of cool. I was like down to like, I think, one mech standing.
Mm-hmm. The only mech game I remember playing. Okay, so this goes way back to when Xbox Live launched.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what it was called, but it was a mech game.
Mech Assault?
Mech Assault. That's what it was.
It's same universe.
Is it?
It is.
I thought the Battletech folks were like, no, get that out of here.
As much as like I don't like
Maybe I'm thinking it's the Mech Warrior guys who are like that then.
It's all the same universe.
Okay.
FASA was the ones that, you know, sort of like did that. Okay. And because they use the same mechs. Whereas Battletech is more strategy-based, you know, where you have, like, over the top, you know, like the tabletop.
Mm-hmm.
Mech Warrior, you're a single mech warrior, basically, in a mech.
Yeah.
And you might have, you know, wingmates and stuff like that.
The other one I played was Hawken.
That, yeah, that's
which I know that's a completely different universe, but I really loved that at the time.
Yeah.
Really did enjoy that.
And Mech Assault's more the arcade version.
Was Steel Battalion, that was also outside of...
That's outside of it. That's okay. Not in the Mech Warrior.
Love the controls, universe. Even though I never played it. Love the controls.
I would love to get that my hands on that controller set if I get it to work on my computer.
I know, yeah.
That thing was great. But, no, I'm totally, totally loving on Battletech. I like the strategy aspect of it. Some of these missions are, you know, it's kind of hair raising because if you're a, you know, you're a mercenary, so you have to, you know, manage finances. You know, that comes part of it. Like, you know, after
to upgrade your mech or to repair or to
just actually
for everything. Wow.
You owe the bank loans, and so every month you have to pay off. You know, you have to pay on your bank loans.
This sounds horrible.
You know, so you have to, you know, take missions to make sure you have enough money to pay off the loans. If you run out of money, then they foreclose on your ship and the game over. So it's a constant, you know, balancing act between, all right, I need to, you know, I have 29 days before my next payday loan where I have to, you know, pay off, you know, the bank loans, also pay my my troops, you know, the people that you have in your squad. And keep, you know, general maintenance on your mechs.
You got to have payroll.
Yeah, you got to have payroll. So let me take some missions. And while you're taking the missions, if you take damage, all right, that's extra money that
repairs,
to do repairs on. Or you could also get salvage, you know, so that's a good thing, too.
It sounds like something like from EVE Online, the micromanagement, managing funds, doing this
Not
and that.
Not quite as crazy as that, but yeah, you know, so I like this. I find it, you know, really interesting. Where if your people take damage, you know, they're out of the fight for a while. Could be up to 29 mm-hmm. days. I had one guy was hurt so bad, he's still in med bay for 100. Like he was in a med bay for like 109 days.
That's a coma.
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. So I used him in one battle, and I haven't used him since because he's still in med bay.
Yeah.
You know, so like, you know, I just finished another. I finished a battle before. I got ready for the show, and all right, you know, two of my guys are sick. I have to do repairs on three of my mechs, and then upgrade this one. And
that so, the guy in medbay, you can't like hire like a find a
you
a
can
doctor,
hire well hi, you can't
a specialist,
hire
a specialist doctor or something
to
like
help.
That?
I don't think so, but okay. I did hire another sort of mercenary to sort of take his spot.
Okay,
so that way someone will pilot one of the mechs, so I could have a lance. You know, because you have a your squad or group, whatever mm-hmm, it's called, yeah. A lance, and so I have a lance of four mechs. So that way I have people. And you get them sort of upgrade the people to, like, be better pilots or better with sensors or better with gunning and, you know, this kind of stuff. The strategy aspect of it is what I'm really, really enjoying.
It really, you know, so...
It's pretty good.
Like Mech Assault or Mech Warrior
mm-hmm.
sounds like...
That's just action.
Yeah, it sounds like you're...
It
sounds like in those two games you're the pilot of the mechs and you're doing the battles.
Yes.
Whereas Battletech feels like it's
you're the commander, sort of
coach simulator 2018, where you're kind of coaching the team or you're being or End War.
You know, in a way. Although, like, you know, you do have your character,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you're, you know, moving around, you know, that you're piloting around the battlefield. But you also have, you know, you tell the other characters, all right, you go here, you flank from this position, stuff like
that. No. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, you could run up on another mech and just punch them, you know, and like that'll do a lot of damage. And, you know, it's all the strategy of like, where do you hit them? If they're already hurt on this side, you could target that side with your guys. Or, you know, if you do close range, you could also fire your close range stuff. I mean, it's a lot of fun. So, I mean, if anyone likes a good strategy game, I would highly suggest this one.
I wonder if that demo is still available.
I don't know. I mean, how much do you like strategy games?
Some of what you were saying was like, I don't want to do that. Then some of your stuff you were saying was like, I might could deal with it if I could do this.
But like even like the money management, you know, it's not, I don't even find it tedious. I just find it like, ooh, okay, so I have this amount of money to deal with. And it lets you know like how many months you could go on without, without going bankrupt in a way.
Right.
And so I have enough money that I don't have to worry about going bankrupt for like several months. So
I'll see if I can find the demo.
Yeah, that way I'm just like, all right, let me just like upgrade these guys.
It's real nice when games have demos, by the way.
Yeah.
We haven't had a proper demo in a while, and the fact that just this one with Detroit was really nice to have a demo there, and then you're talking about this demo. This is good. I like this. This means I don't have to make a commitment to something I might hate.
I am very vested in this universe. I've been loving a lot of these.
Right.
For
you, it's
–
yeah, I was going to say the words we're getting from you are filtered through a –
Yeah,
a lens of fandom. Yeah, exactly.
30 some odd years of.
I understand.
Fandom.
It's like me talking about pinball.
Yeah,
but I just got a new mech, and I was able to basically like cannibalize another one, sell off the scrap for extra money, and now I have a mech running around with a particle pulse cannon, which does a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I have my light mechs for sensing and they're scouting. They're like, I'll send them up forward. They'll do target locks, sensor locks on people to let me know where the bad guys are. I have my heavy hitter, my middle range guys that, could like sort of stick and move, hit multiple targets.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my heavy hitters that just like sit in the background and just like punch them out with the PPCs and stuff like that. And so I'm like, man, this brings back a lot of good memories of sitting around with friends, on a tabletop and just playing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, good. I'm glad you're enjoying it, and you've piqued my interest a little bit there to check it out and see what it might bring.
Quick question though.
Yeah.
When you mentioned demos, do you think companies are scared to put out demos?
Nah, it's a little strange. Look,
it's like scared if people see
sales.
Oh, sales. Yeah.
If people see what we got right now, and it just turns people off. It just kills
you usually don't get a demo until that game is very close to being released. In other words, regardless of what that demo shows everyone, that's the final product you're getting. And now, we're talking about a demo here. We're not talking about a beta.
And yeah, because like they did the beta of this, and Kevin was in the beta.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen videos of
sometimes
the beta.
A beta can just be a glorified way of saying demo.
Yeah.
A lot of companies do that where they say it allows them to release a demo, but they call it a beta because that makes people think, well, it's not a representation of the final product.
It's not finished yet. Yeah.
For a lot of games that might be true. I remember when we played the Destiny Alpha,
mm-hmm.
And there were some tweaks that they did there, and then they did the Destiny Beta, which basically was the demo and also stress test on servers and things like that. But yeah, most demos, like I said, most demos now are released as betas, but they're really not. They're really just a glorified demo, and it gets it in people's hands where, again, they're calling it a beta. So if people complain, they have the shield of saying, well, it's not the final product. Everything will be fine. It's not. But if you release it as, if you say something is a demo, just like this Detroit game is a demo, mm-hmm. the game doesn't release until the end of May. But here is the demo. This gives people time to either order it or not. It also gives people time to make up their minds of, like, do I want to play this, do I not?
Yeah.
And that's the problem that they run into. You release a demo, people might not like it, you lose sales. You don't release a demo, people don't know what they're getting into, so they're going to buy it to play it. Sales should be higher than if you did release a demo, depending on how that goes. If your game is really good and people like it, it could increase sales that way. So mm-hmm. you've got to be confident about that. And a lot of people just aren't confident about that. A lot of publishers aren't confident. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, that's the point I'm trying to make. I mean, you put out the demos, people see what you got, and mm-hmm. they're like, just not interested. I'm not picking this up, or I'll just wait for the discount.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean.
You know what? I've seen a lot of people do this. Is they'll release a demo after the game's released. There's a lot on Steam.
Generate interest.
There's a lot of games on Steam that have done that. Mm-hmm. I really haven't noticed it too much on consoles, but I've noticed it on PC where they'll release their game and it'll be fine or whatever's fine. And it doesn't do bad. It may not do great, but it doesn't do bad. They release a demo later, like, oh, hey, here's a free demo now. You can try this out. So they don't run the risk of losing those upfront sales. And what they do is increase the chance of somebody seeing this and picking it up after they play the demo once the game's released. They're not, the dice roll isn't as favored against them as it was before the game released. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the option of releasing as something called a beta so that you can hide behind the shroud of it's not finished when it, you know, when it really and truly is. Mm-hmm. You can always know when something's actually a beta. When's the game release, and when did this beta get released? That's a good way of knowing. If the game comes out in a month and you got a beta a month before or 2 months before, it's probably a demo. It's very likely a demo of the final product.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever want to go back, you can look up a story about when Sega released the... this goes back in the 360 days, by the way. Sega released a demo for the Iron Man game based on the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Man or Iron Man 2, I can't remember. But they released
back in the what days?
Way back in the days. Back in the 360 days. Xbox 360.
Okay.
Yeah. Go back to the Xbox 360. They released a demo. Sega released a demo for Iron Man. A lot of people played it. The movie was out. Everybody was hyped. Wah. Horrible. It killed it. The demo killed it. Nobody was going to buy that after playing the demo.
Mm-hmm.
And there was actually stories on that. People wrote stories, some news articles about the fact that demo was so bad and that it killed the sales of the game. So, and I'm not saying it was going to suck regardless of them releasing a demo. It just put it into people's hands before they had to put their money down. So it killed sales of the game. And a lot of companies stopped doing demos.
From that incident,
incident. It was a big deal when that happened. It was a really big deal, and it wasn't like the game wasn't complete. It wasn't like they were playing an unfinished product. That was the problem.
They were playing a terrible game.
They were playing the finished product, and it was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so nobody went in and bought that game. You just don't see a lot of demos these days.
And I will say, BattleTech, like most good strategy games, is PC only.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you on the PC, you want a really good strategy game, pick it up.
Okay, so we're about to take a break here. I was going to go over some of the games that are coming to... Did we do the Xbox Gold games? We did, didn't we?
When?
I don't know. Whenever they're going to be coming out.
I mean, we've said them
before. I thought we did the ones for Xbox Live Gold. If we didn't, that was last week.
You know, it's Xbox. I don't care.
I know, but there's other people who listen who do have an Xbox, and they might care.
This show is for me. I don't...
I understand that. It's for you. It's for everybody. Here, I'll just go ahead.
I'm interested. Yeah.
Oh, shut up, Matt. Don't patronize me. Game of Goodness says, let's see, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, Mega Baseball? Yeah, Super Mega Baseball 2. That's on your Xbox One side. Streets of Rage. The Sega Vintage Collection, Streets of Rage and Vanquish, will be available for those with the gold subscription on Xbox.
Mm. Vanquish is good. I already got that on...
Yeah, Vanquish I'm good with.
Yeah. And then Streets of... Well, I got Streets of Rage Remake, which is still better than everything. Yeah.
On the Xbox Game Pass... Yeah. On the Xbox Games Pass, we're getting State of Decay 2.
Okay.
I think when it launches, May 22nd. And then a bunch of other games, but State of Decay 2 is a big one. Overcooked, The Escapist, Homefront, The Revolution, Sonic and Knuckles and Unmechanical Extended will also be available. Pro Evolution Soccer 2018 will be there as well. That's on the Game Pass. Not the gold subscription, but the Game Pass that we opt in for Sea of Thieves.
I heard folks say, I think that's Konami's soccer title, isn't it? Pro Evolution Soccer, I think?
Yes. Yeah.
Some people said that's better than EA's FIFA.
The PlayStation Plus games for May?
Yeah.
Beyond Two Souls.
Okay. For the PS3?
The PS4.
Oh, PS4 version?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that changes things.
That and Rayman Legends.
Okay.
Will also be available.
I prefer Heavy Rain.
I know, but I never played Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah.
I could tell you all about it when we...
Risen 3, Titan Lords, a game called Eat Them.
Okay.
And King Oddball for the Vita and Furman's for the Vita as well. So, currently Mad Max and Trackmania Turbo are still available. And I would suggest to anybody, if you've not played Mad Max,
got them both.
Yeah.
Get that game.
You got to download it. Just put it in your put it to your account.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we got to take a break, and when we come back, we will be talking with Amanda from Twisted Pixel.
Yay!
And so again, the theme fits, but we'll have a track from Loco Cycle, which does not fit into the whole theme of what we're trying to play with the music today. So this next track comes from N Plus. We have played it before, but it fits into the overall theme of what these tracks mean. So we'll be back with more of In Game Chat and Twisted Pixel right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music. I think this is music. When I was looking it up, I believe this is music from Loco Cycle. I think it is. I hope it is. It doesn't sound like how you played the game, but it does sound... I think it came from there.
Crazy and cyclish?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Doesn't sound like something in a racing title.
It's not really a racing title. Loco Cycle wasn't really a racing game. It was a beat-em-up. Very hard to explain.
Still didn't sound like something that
Let's bring in Amanda here from Twisted Pixel. Maybe she can help explain what Loco Cycle is. But yes, hi, Amanda.
Hi, how you doing, Scott?
Doing pretty good. How are you? Thank you for giving us your time on this Saturday.
Oh, no, it's great. I'm having a great day.
Awesome.
Wonderful. I don't know how long you've been with Twisted Pixel.
Not very long, actually. I was only brought on recently to manage media and communications, so only like 2 or 3 months. But I've known Josh Bear for like many, many years. We actually made a movie together called Lumberjack Man back in the day.
Sounds like something that Josh would have made, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Madsen was in it. It was a big mess. It was awesome. But so after that, you know, he knew that I had done social media and marketing management for a long time. So he was like, "Look, we need to we're growing really rapidly, and we're coming out with these big titles, and we need help." So now I'm helping them do that, and I'm also going to be a character in our new game that's coming out.
Okay, and we'll get to Defector here in just a bit, but Loco Cycle for RJ was this AI controlled motorcycle. Very, very cartoonish in that aspect.
Okay.
But you could punch. There was all these different kind of combos that you could do with the motorcycle. like the front wheels kind of split apart, and those could act as like the upper arms, and the back wheels could split, and those could act as the legs, and you could do punches and juggle. It was like
GoBots.
Yeah, I mean, I know what GoBots are, like poor man's Transformers, but
yeah, I'm thinking about Psycheel.
Yeah, I know. But it was basically a combo. Yeah. You tried to get the biggest combos when you were playing the game.
Yeah, a lot of our developers are kind of obsessed with Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. So we draw a lot of inspiration from a lot of those older games, you know, and we try and just have as fun and be as, you know, tongue-in-cheek with some of the games as we possibly can.
Yeah, we have had Twisted Pixel on. They were one of our – we've been doing this since – how long have we been doing? I know we're in our 12th season, but we started in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And we had them on for the Maw whenever they released that. And then we brought him back for Splosion Man, and then we brought him
When I was in Iraq.
Go ahead and tell him the story.
Yeah, when I was deployed years ago on one of our bombs in Iraq.
What were you, bomb technician?
I still am.
Okay, for that, I meant.
For that, yes. I build munitions, and back then I was able to draw Explosion Man on one of them, and I sent pictures to Twisted Pixel.
They had it on their website
for
a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still there.
I don't know. But yeah, that was, you know, fun. So, yeah, like, we've been
Explosion Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have links to that on the website and also on, like, the Xbox Live Marketplace.
Right, but they put up he sent them pictures of the drawing that he did on the side of an actual bomb.
Oh my God! I have not seen that. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was on their website for a little while. I don't know.
It took out a radar site, if I believe.
It took out a radar site?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
No. Oh my goodness, that is so cool. I'm gonna have to dig that up. That's amazing.
You can ask them about it.
No one from work is hearing this.
It's gonna be put back up there.
Have you told Josh? I don't even know if you contact him or anything. Have you told Josh that you were doing our show?
No, I haven't. He is so busy right now.
I'm sure he is.
Oh my goodness, Defector is crazy. So I'm just kind of leaving them alone.
That's totally fine. We had them on for Explosion Man, Miss Explosion Man. We had them on for Gunstringer. We had them on for Comic Jumper. We teamed up with we did a fundraiser for Penny Arcade's Child's Play charity, and we did this thing where if you bought enough of, you know, if you donated enough, you got your name into a raffle. And so the more you donated, the more amount of chances you could win. One of the prizes was get your picture as a bonus unlockable in Comic Jumper.
Oh, my goodness.
And so somebody got their picture. One of the winners got their picture in there. And then we got a thank you at the end of the game in the credits, the show and me and that sort of thing. So it was really, really cool. First time my name appeared in a video game at all.
Oh, there you go.
I know.
I still have Boom Goes My Ringtone as one of my ringtones.
As one of your ringtones? Yeah. No, they were fantastic.
Oh, my God. I love that one.
we're big fans.
Yeah, we are.
Fans of theirs and what they've done.
Oh,
so,
thank you, guys.
Which was kind of strange because after Loco Cycle, they went kind of underground for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They went silent for a very long time to the point that I ran into Josh at PAX South. Oh, I can't remember what year it was, but we were at a party for Song of the Deep, which we were just talking about earlier. There was some kind of launch party for Song of the Deep, and I just noticed Josh out of the corner of my eye just because his hair was sticking up. And I noticed him, and he noticed me, and we started talking again. And I was like, man, how's everything going? I asked him about Mike. He's like, oh, Mike's not with the company anymore. He went and got married and had kids, and yeah, he's left, and he was telling me you guys were working on some great things, that I should come to the studio, but he couldn't tell me what he was working on, which I'm guessing was Wilson's Heart at the time.
It must have been, yeah. So, I mean, I think we kind of went silent there for a while. We were affiliated with Microsoft for the longest time.
Right, and then after Loco Cycle, I think.
That ended, yeah. And so now we've recently become more affiliated with Oculus and are trying to develop, you know, much bigger budget, much, you know, more like virtual reality titles and that sort of thing. So, and it takes so much more time and development and just brain and energy power and everything. So we did have to kind of lay low for a while because we were just like redoing everything, you know, building new green rooms in the studio and hiring new people and everything. So things are really different now, but we're still trying to keep, you know, our same energy and our same vibes and not take ourselves too seriously.
Oh, I think Defector does that very well.
Oh, yeah. I really appreciate it. You know, there's a lot of little Easter eggs you can find in there where, you know, you feel like, oh, man, this might even be GoldenEye on the 64. You know?
Yeah. Was that the shift then? Because you guys laid low, and I guess now it's shifting into, instead of like 2D platformer type beat-em-ups, I guess it's moving more towards VR experiences? Are you guys going full-on VR experiences now?
We're not going to go full on, probably not ever, honestly. We are going to continue. We have a really great relationship with Oculus, and we're going to continue to make games with them so long as they can want to continue to make games with us. And we're really enjoying that partnership. But we are definitely going to still keep making our old school Twisted Pixel, like 2D, even side scrollers. We're working on probably 3 games in addition to Defector right now.
Oh, my God.
And
wow.
Yeah. Crazy amount of things coming out.
I remember. Yeah, I remember talking to you guys when we were talking about Splosion Man and Maw. And I remember when you guys were working on Maw, and I asked Mike, I was like, hey, man, how many people are on the team? I think you mentioned like 11.
We're like way over 30 now.
Holy cow. I've never talked to you guys when you were, even with Splosion Man, I think it went up to like maybe 20. Or maybe even not that. I think maybe it was around 15 or so. They hadn't increased that much since Maw. But, that's fantastic.
It's exploding right now. So it's really good. It's really exciting. But at the same time, it's like, whoa, you know, like, it's a little overwhelming. And, you know, people, you know, are scrambling to get a lot of things done. But, you know, we have a lot of things on the table and some exciting additional partnerships that we can't really talk about that, you know, but that we will be announcing some additional partnerships later in the year. And some exciting ports that we're going to do.
Ports? I heard ports.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I just thought about this. Opens up. Everything's moving. Well, I don't want to say everything is moving, but everybody's looking at the Switch and like, hey, let's put our stuff out there now. So.
Yeah, a lot of people are looking at it, you know. So I can't say officially what, you know, we're looking at, but we got some exciting things on the table, that's for sure.
Well, I'm hoping I would easily rebuy some Splosion Man on the Switch.
Oh,
my goodness. I love Miss Splosion Man so much, the donut song, like every single time I play. I'm giggling still.
They did great with the songs. They went full out when they did Comic Jumper, or not Comic, was it Comic Jumper? Comic Jumper or Loco Cycle. I mean, everything had a song in Comic Jumper. The stat screen had a song, the ringtone, the Brad's theme.
One of my favorite Miss Splosion Man one, the Back It Up Like a Donkey.
Oh,
song.
The Badonka Donk.
Badonka Donk song?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
song.
I would kill myself just so the song would play.
Like, exactly.
I actually,
at that scene,
I listen to it in my car because I have it on my iPod.
You're such a dork.
I am. But it's hilarious. So
that's
like driving
amazing.
Down,
you know.
That's fine, but you're such a
dork. No, we've actually had people like call in to the studio and request it. Please, like on your telephone line, can you have like the whole song?
Why not?
Like,
why not?
Like,
you guys are still based in Austin, right?
We are, yeah.
Okay. I want to get to some of the other things that you might be working on, but later I want to go into how Wilson's Heart. When I don't even know if you might not be familiar, but
I did a lot of promotion for Wilson's Heart last year. But there are some things that happened before, like during the development of the game.
How long was the development on Wilson's Heart?
It took a while. I think it was something like 9 months.
Okay,
might have been even a little longer than that.
Did that also come from the mind of Josh, or was that somewhere else?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right from the mind of Josh.
Okay.
And, you know, his obsession with, you know, old movies. And, you know, we just really wanted to do kind of an ode to that film noir, old Hollywood, you know, monster movie kind of thing.
Yeah. And then when did the decision to go towards Defector, where did that come from?
Honestly, I think that Josh and a lot of the other people at the studio, too, they wanted to, we felt that when we made Wilson's that, number one, we did the teleportation form of locomotion around the game.
Right.
And while that was, you know, that was fun, and VR is a new concept and we were worried people would get motion sickness, we also kind of wanted to try out something where, I mean, you could literally do anything you want. You can walk anywhere you want. You can pick up anything you want. There are no rules, you know. And in deciding to do that, we just think, okay, we're going to, like, literally push the pedal to the metal. Like, we're just going to start driving cars off airplanes onto other airplanes and just, you know, going nuts with things.
Well,
so that's kind of, like, where this came from, and just the idea that we were just going to literally no holds bars on this one.
Yeah. What's the development time on that one?
On Defector, I think that we have so far been working on it for Yeah, I'd say about 8 months, and we still have several months left to go. So, I mean, we've completed several levels, but we're going to have, you know, several more levels available, too, and every level is going to be completely different than the last.
When's the release date?
We're set on this year. It's definitely going to be this year, but we're honestly probably not until the very end of the year.
No, so, you know, holiday release in November?
Yeah, I think the holidays, probably.
Yeah. And it'll be, I know you said you're working with Oculus, but will the Vive or the PlayStation VR work at all for this?
No, it's going to be an exclusive.
Oculus
we're
exclusive.
Using the touch controllers exclusively. Just going to be on Oculus.
Okay. Is Oculus in some way helping with this, I guess? Is that why they're getting the exclusive on it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Okay. I mean, essentially, like, even with Wilson's, I mean, they fund the project up front, you know, and, you know, help us, you know, get bigger and better, you know, equipment and software and hire better people and do better marketing and that sort of thing. So, it's a good relationship that we have, and we're able to make much bigger games, you know, with them than we could have just as a tiny independent studio that we are. But, you know, we're going to continue to make VR, but we're not going to continue to make exclusive VR. But right now, I'm not sure if we have anything in the works with Oculus, but I'm sure that we'll continue to make more games with them.
Okay. What's the size of Defector as far as, like, and maybe you don't know since it's not yet released and you're still working on levels, but the playthrough, the length of time on a playthrough like that. Is it
Right now, what I do know is that we're focusing mostly on replayability. So what we've decided to do to make things a lot more fun and to make it more robust is to do, like, plot branching through conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and also, like, hidden objects. So, like, for instance, when you're playing the demo of Defector, let's just say you're walking up to a character and, you know, you have three different things to choose from that you can say. You know, any one of those things that you choose to say is going to, like, fundamentally change the game.
Okay.
And, so then, you know, the next time you play, you try a different branch, and then the game is going to be completely different, a brand new experience. And in that same vein, there are many objects that if you're able to find these objects, you know, it might give you a certain power that you didn't have the first time. And, you know, the next time you play, you know, like, oh, man, you know, I should open that safe or found that thing or whatever, because now I have this amazing, you know, electric device or whatever. So I know that it's going to be at least as long as Wilson's Heart. But in terms of just, like, it's a straight playthrough, as long as Wilson's Heart, probably longer. But replayability is going to be much more robust than Wilson's.
Working with VR, and I think you're probably the only, I think you're the first and only studio so far we've talked to that is now knee-deep in VR that I can remember.
Oh, yeah.
In working with VR, have they found any kind of... have they found any correlation as far as the fact that, okay, this is how long somebody can play VR comfortably before they need to, like, stop, take a moment, you know, get out of it?
Yeah, we have seen that, you know, it's always kind of an individual, each person is different. And so with this game, with Defector specifically, we find that because it's more completely free range, you know, open motion, that there's more of a tendency for people to get a little bit more motion sickness than in, like, Wilson's, where you're just teleporting from place to place. So to combat that, we've given, like, I think 5 different controller settings where it's like, okay, if you're super apt to motion sickness, do this, and you can play for a lot longer. You're not going to get feeling sick or anything. Or if you don't get motion sickness at all, maybe you should try this different setting. You're going to have more mobility. But, you know, even with me, I'm not a very motion sicknessy person, but sometimes with this game, with Defector, it's so realistic. It can get a little like, okay, whoo, yeah, maybe I should take it a little slow, you know, and I use a setting that we have, it's called full control with head movement.
Mm-hmm.
Basically what we've tried to do is do so, like, if you're wearing the Oculus headset, and you're looking in a specific direction, we found that a lot of times if somebody pushes forward and you're not looking forward, you can get a little disoriented. So we added a feature where, depending on where your head is looking, if you push forward, you're going to go where your head's looking. So that seems to have really made it a lot easier for people to not get sick and to be able to play for a lot longer.
Is that like tank controls?
In a way? I remember what was the game? What game was it? Was it Resident Evil?
Yeah.
Where it didn't matter where your head looked.
That was the direction you went.
No matter what direction you were facing, if you push up on the stick, you were going to walk forward.
But not in the direction that you were looking, though, right? I can't remember.
Like, your head like didn't turn, from what I remember, evil. Like you could literally be looking, you know, to the left, and you know, you push forward, and you know, you still go, and it can get a little disorienting.
Right.
In VR, I feel like I'm spinning now.
The touch controls, I guess, are going to be a part of this too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And we have really utilized them to the max. I mean, like. In Defector at this point, you can literally pick up just about any single object you see, and the physics are there. I mean, you can stack things. I mean, I'm sitting here, like, doing interviews with, like, Rolling Stone, and I swear they're getting more of a kick out of, like, throwing cheese at people's face.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know,
I watched
shooting people up. And
yeah, I watched so somebody funny. Play through it online and in a video, and it didn't seem like they were too acclimated with how VR works. And it's one of the most frustrating things to watch is somebody play
someone
a game.
Because you're just yelling at the screen.
It is worse than like watching movies when you tell people not to go in that room. When you watch somebody play a game who doesn't know how to play that game, it's the most frustrating thing. Because it's just, you're yelling at, stop doing that. You're doing it wrong. No, you have to, because I saw him, he was trying to reload the gun, but he hadn't ejected the clip that was already in there.
Oh,
he couldn't
no.
do it. And it was just over and over.
The button is there. It's like push X. You know, you
yes.
It, you
it was
know.
Like, all you have to do is just, you have to eject that and then go. And then, boy, it was really annoying.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
But,
it's a lot of people. You either get it or you don't, you know. But like,
yeah.
We found that, like, you know, what we tried to do is add this little, like, dossier. And, you know, you can push these little buttons and be like, do this. You know, it's like, yeah, sometimes people just get, like, really lost in it. And they don't realize, like, they're still in the mind frame that this is, like, regular video game, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, you're in it. You're really this character. Like, when you're loading that gun, you're, like, legitimately
right.
going through the motions.
We're so used
realistically.
To, yeah, we're so used to active reload, which is basically, or I say active reload, I don't even know if that's the right term, but it's the thing where
yeah,
when you're in a game,
I'm used to hitting one button and everything reloads
yeah,
for you.
As soon as I pull the trigger for whatever amount of time, I just hit the button, it drops the clip, loads the new one.
Exactly.
And, but you, in VR, your actions are what really make this thing supposed to be. So you do have to release the clip yourself. You do have to pick up the next clip. You have to insert it, and you know, you have to do all of this.
Yeah, you
have to throw the cheese.
Barely put it. Yeah, you have to throw the cheese.
You do.
You know, and the thing too that I've seen people struggle because, you know, we have a lot of again back to the Mike Tyson's punch out thing. We tried to put in a lot of like hand to hand combat and a lot of really fun stuff that, you know, we could play with in VR. And I see people, you know, they'll have the controllers and they'll be like, like these little baby punches, you know. And I'm like,
right.
No, man, you got to like really punch. And,
it
like,
does
really
because
kick.
It measures motion, it measures speed and everything.
Yeah.
It has the gyro whatever's in the controller to sense the force that you're putting into it and that sort of thing to translate that into the game. I mean, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's VR, and it's sometimes that can be a hard concept to translate to someone else. It's like, this is you in the game, do those things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're like literally in there.
Yeah. So, Defector, who's doing the, if you know, who's doing the music for Defector?
I honestly do not know who's
okay.
doing the music for Defector.
The guy who had done the music for all the way up through Loco Cycle was a guy they called Chainsaw, and...
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if he was still with the team and still doing it or, you know, if that had changed.
He is still with the team. I don't know why,
mm-hmm.
but from what I understand, no, he's not with us anymore.
Okay. And that's fine. I just know it's been a while since we've talked to you guys, so it's sort of like trying to play some catch up here as to what's been going on. When will, are you guys going to be hitting up any, I don't know, I guess what I'm trying to ask, will we see you guys at PAX this year, PAX Seattle, I guess?
We probably will be at PAX Seattle. We were at, I believe...
Were you at
Well,
PAX?
The next event... We were at PAX East, but we had not officially announced our title yet, so it was very selective.
So you weren't
you know,
at PAX... But you weren't at PAX South this year, right?
No, we weren't at PAX South. We
okay.
were just at PAX East.
PAX South seems like such
we
a...
We weren't demoing to the public.
Yeah, PAX South seems like such a...
Easy...
Easy thing for, yeah, because
right
it's like Austin to San Antonio, which I know is a lot
right.
longer than what you think, because Texas is gigantic.
It's
but,
pretty gigantic.
I know.
Yeah, I think at that time we weren't at a place where we were ready to really, like, move forward or show the game or anything like that. But, yeah, we were at PAX East, and, you know, but our embargo only lifted, like, a couple weeks ago, I believe. So we were there, but we were only demoing to reporters, and we were like, we were not going to announce it for the next couple of weeks, so don't say anything about
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha. Well, I hope
weeks,
that you guys... Yeah, I hope you guys will be... the next one I'm going to is Seattle. For that pack.
Oh, yeah. We'll probably be there.
I hope so.
We'll be at E3 and everywhere else. So.
Yeah, I don't do the E3 thing anymore, which is odd because now I used to beg. The strings that I would pull and the things I would beg to get tickets to get into the press conferences and even some of the things I had to pull just to get a pass to get into E3 used to be a tough thing. Now that I'm not going, I get invites. They're like, hey, come to our Xbox briefing, come to our PlayStation briefing. And then I get stuff
from
ESA is sending me stuff. I got something like 2 weeks ago from ESA saying, hey, E3 registration is closing. You might want to get in there and get your stuff done. And I'm like,
isn't that always the way?
Oh, they were real sticklers about it. Now it's like, hey, does anybody want to come to our game show anymore?
Remember?
I'm not kidding. It's gotten bad for them as far as just trying to drum up people to go in because everybody watches it from the internet now.
Yeah, there's no like bodies in there.
Exactly. So anyway, I hope you guys will come to PAX South so I can see the team again. I haven't seen them, and I haven't seen Josh obviously since that time at PAX South, whenever it was, 2015. No, maybe.
Goodness gracious.
It's been a while. It's been a long while, and he doesn't like to do social media, so I can't talk to him online.
Right. No, he like literally he's not on Facebook. He's not anything. And like, even last year when they were doing Wilson's, I'm like, we need to start doing this.
No, man.
We got to do social media.
He hates it. So the other games that you were working on, you were talking about, and I know you can't really probably reveal much, but you had mentioned that
several other games in the
that were outside of the VR category that were still in the wheelhouse of what you guys had done previous. When I know you can't say much about those, but when can you say something about those? When will we know more?
I would assume that we would start talking more about, you know, the directions that we're going in towards the end of the year, probably around the time that Defector comes out. I'm not sure if we're going to actually say, you know, this is officially the name of the title and here's the demo and everything. But I do know that we're getting to a place in development where we're going to go ahead and start having to become more public with the other games that we're working on.
Okay. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for giving us your time here for talking Twisted Pixel. We invite you back anytime, and I hope that we can have you on again.
Of course, I loved, and
get Josh on. I love to.
I'll badger him.
I love talking to you guys. We enjoy the relationship that we've had with Twisted Pixel for forever. How long? We're this small little radio show, man, out of Montgomery, Alabama. So the fact that they would give us. They were giving the first interview we had, they were talking to us, and they said, yeah, as soon as we're done with you, we've got to get on a plane and fly out to, I guess it was L.A., because they were going to be on, I don't think it was X-Play. Maybe it was X-Play. I can't remember. It goes back a ways, because they were going to be on with, like, Sessler and whatever. Or maybe it was Keeley.
Oh, my goodness.
It may have been Game... Well, I don't even think Keeley was around at the time for Game Trailers. I'm not sure. But they were about to get on a plane because they were going to get an interview done for the Maw. And so, you know, it was a small little start there. Would love to do that. And there was one other thing I was going to say. I've totally forgotten what it was. It was right there, and now I've completely forgotten it. No, it sucks. I hate when that happens. I can't remember what it was going to be.
I hate that, too.
And I'm going to remember when we get off the phone, too, but I'll probably just send you...
Of course you will.
I'll probably just send you an email and...
Yeah, please do. Just anytime reach out, you know, and maybe I can, you know, shake Josh loose from his busy life. but, you know, we would love to talk to you guys anytime, and I want you guys to keep up the good fight because we love what you guys are doing.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. And you just have a fantastic weekend, and we will talk to you again. Thanks so much.
All righty. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I can't remember what I was going to ask.
You'll remember during the break.
It was right there. And I was starting to lead into it, and then I totally forgot.
Do you remember what it was based on? A game?
No, I can't remember.
Job, some other person that Twisted Pixel.
Nope. I don't remember. It's gone. It's completely gone, whatever it was. It's left my mind.
Like I say, it won't be during break. It'll be in the parking lot after we get
there. It'll be, yeah.
Old age is not fun.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a break here. We have got music from Splosion Man. Yay. This does tie into the theme of what overall all of these other music things have tied into. So, we've got that coming up next and more in game chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Got about 20 minutes left in the show. This is music from Shadow Complex. Do you remember Shadow Complex?
That was a really fun game.
That was a very fun game.
Sort of a Metroidvania in a way.
Yeah, it was. I don't know.
I got it.
Okay. I wasn't sure. This is a really good track. I don't remember listening to this part. I like it, though.
It's like I remember trying to run through this area, you know, get from point A to point B as quick as you can. And it involved like running on this, get enough momentum to start running across the ceiling and everything like that. I could never get that part down. I kept jumping into pits from there, so it was just something to get used to.
Anyway, I totally remembered what I wanted to ask Amanda, and it wasn't even a question, really. It was more of just a statement. I wanted her to tell the guys to start sending out Christmas cards again.
Oh, yeah, those were funny.
They were the best. I loved them.
Yeah, I loved when you received them. Just, you know, they'd make me laugh.
I still have them hanging up on my...
mantle?
Yeah. I splay them out. right now, they're all tucked in with each other. But, you know, come the holidays, I'll move them out. Looks like I have Christmas cards from people. but they were always great. And always on the back of the card, on the back of every single card that they sent over the years, were pictures of the developers surrounded by a character from Die Hard with a phrase. And so, yeah, it was always great. What? I don't go away. Why is this button here? Stop it. Okay. Because I got a raid thing, whatever that was.
What is that?
I have no idea. We're talking about what's going on in chat, and I have no idea what that is. Anyway, I have a list. We all love lists, don't we? Mm-hmm. I don't know who did the ranking. Oh, it's Vulture. Vulture.com did the ranking.
Okay.
Of the best and worst video game movies.
Best? Oh.
Right? I know.
I'm drawing a blank at that one.
Video game movies have a notoriously bad track record, so if you're going to rank them, you can't really go best to worst. You have to go least bad to absolute worst.
Yeah. I know what I think one of my absolute worst would be one of two things. You know, and both of them are done by the same guy.
What are they?
Either House of the Dead or Postal.
Okay, well, let's look at the list.
Both by Uwe Boll.
The top five, this is odd. Some of these are odd. The top five for least bad. At number five, it was the new Tomb Raider movie. No, I'm sorry. It was the Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider movie.
Okay.
The number five was Lara Croft Tomb Raider. Number four was Doom.
Oh, all right.
Number three was...
I didn't like the gimmicky end of Doom.
I know.
That was...
I'm glad they did it because, I mean, I had heard that they were going to do it. And I was like, let's see if they can pull this off.
But they didn't.
But I didn't like it. Number
at the
three.
Time, it's just the technology.
Yeah.
Just not.
Number three was Street Fighter.
Oh, jeez.
Right? This is the least bad.
Least bad?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe most cheesy.
The game was worse.
Yeah. Oh, the movie
they made
game?
A game based yeah. on that movie, and it was...
The game based on the movie based on the game?
Yeah, and it was a dang shame that was Raul Julia's last performance.
It really was.
It required a blood sacrifice. It was that bad.
For me, it was a Tuesday.
Okay, that was funny.
No, it was great.
That was good. That was a good line.
there are some good lines in it.
I used that line once.
Yeah.
When I had to describe something that had happened to me.
Yeah, I got to find the picture now.
And...
But
It actually happened on a Tuesday.
Oh.
And I made a post about it or whatever and said something like, for you, it was for me. Or, no, I said, for me, this is what happened. And I was like, for you, it was just a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know? At number two, again, this would have been from best to worst, but, you know, we're changing it from least bad to really bad.
Yeah.
So
Super Mario Brothers?
Number two is Super Mario Brothers.
That was a bad movie.
Why is it on the? Why is it so high in the best ranking? You know? Like, again, Vulture said this is because, from best to worst.
Yeah.
So, Doom, Street Fighter, Super Mario Brothers are in the top five of being the best. Mortal Kombat at number one, by the way.
Okay. Well, see, yeah, all right. When the bar is set so low.
Yeah.
It's hard to, you know, like you said, it's hard. But
The bottom five.
Okay. Yeah.
I think this will go from 5 to 1. Yeah, so the bottom five, Need for Speed.
I didn't even see that one.
I did not.
I have no comment.
Number 4 is Alone in the Dark.
Oh, it was so terrible.
I did not see that
either. It was terrible.
Number 3 was Assassin's Creed.
Didn't see that one either.
I'm surprised Warcraft isn't on this list. Not for the bottom, but like for any
top?
Of it. Yeah.
I heard parts of it weren't that bad.
I did too. There's another video game movie that I'm trying to think of. Maybe not. Number 2 was Prince of Persia.
Yeah, I saw that. It was not good.
And number 1
uh-huh.
was a movie from 2007.
Okay, 07.
Postal. As the worst.
Yes, I would agree. That's the one you guys joked on me about.
Really?
Yeah, way back when I was sick. And I'm just watching Netflix, and next thing
The next thing you know, that was the next thing you know
line? That was the next thing you know line,
yeah, the next thing you know.
Well, you're watching Postal, and you wish that the flu would finally finish you off, because it was that bad.
Yeah. Well.
Ugh.
I was trying to find your bomb picture from the Spider-Man thing. I couldn't find it.
Me neither, which is probably good. Less evidence out there.
I can't, you know, there's not.
Because we're not allowed to do that anymore.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, that.
But at the time you were.
At the time it was look the other way. Technically, you weren't supposed to, but, you know, look the other. But I would not do that
right.
again.
Right, yeah.
Because that would be bad.
So, Nintendo says we're going to get some information. What?
Postal was just terrible. I'm sorry, I'm still just.
Never saw it.
Reeling on how terrible
the thing
it was.
About it is that you could have put a ton of Uwe Boll movies.
Any of his. Blood Rain, Postal.
I saw Blood Rain. That was, yeah, that was.
It was terrible.
That was
what was the one about the king?
Dungeon.
Was that Dungeons
Dungeon
and Dragons?
Siege.
Was it Dungeon Siege?
I think it was Dungeon Siege.
I thought it was like something of the king or whatever it was.
It was subtitled.
Subtitled that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think, that was Dungeon Siege, if I'm not mistaken.
Like, how come Resident Evil isn't in the list?
Because I would have put that on the better end of, you know.
Right.
At least the first one. Everything after that was just.
Super Mario Brothers could easily.
Far Cry, yeah. Uwe Boll did Far Cry. That was terrible.
But, I mean. Those movies that were in the top five, you could easily put Resident Evil in there.
At least
you could have put Silent Hill.
That the first one was actually really,
yeah.
That was a really good one. That would actually that and Mortal Kombat I think would be my top.
I
two.
Think the Silent Hill one closely was the one that closely
resembles.
Followed the game, the source that it was drawn from,
and did it
justice.
Well.
Did it well?
Yeah, the music, the atmosphere, the everything.
Especially with Pyramid Head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason you
even though he was in two.
Yeah, there's a reason you feared Pyramid Head. Yeah. And you saw it in that first one.
Oh, yeah, it was Dungeon Siege.
Yeah, I was trying to think of some other video game movies that have done quite well with what they've done, but you're right. Yeah, I would say that Silent Hill mm-hmm. and Resident Evil, which is what they had. They drug that out to like six movies.
Yeah, I would have put the first Resident Evil and Silent Hill. Wait, I would have bumped them Super Mario off the list for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least Street Fighter, like I said, it was cheesy. It wasn't good, but it was funny.
Yeah, Lethal Migraine mentions Hitman. I didn't see the new one. I have it, but I didn't. I haven't seen
the Max Payne movie? Oh,
really,
so terrible.
Really, yeah.
So terrible.
No.
The thing about those movies is that if you had.
I released on my birthday. I was really excited to see it, and it was crazy.
The thing about it was people who I found who like those movies, they have absolutely no experience
with
the
source
game. Material at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that thing about the person I was talking to, they loved the Valkyr, tripping on Valkyr and the demons and the city was all things like that. And I'm like,
and I'm
that
where was
like
that
never
in any of
the
you
game
know,
at
yeah,
all.
None.
Well, the drug was, but
the drug,
not
yeah,
like
but the
that.
The tripping effects that was shown in the movie.
No,
that wasn't. But yeah, so if you have no experience with the source material, you'd probably think it was
think
just
Prince
okay
of Persia
action
was
flick
decent.
Or something.
Well, like one of my friends thought that the Assassin's Creed movie went bad.
I said one of my friends, usually means him. One of my friends.
No,
my
I have
friend
not.
Friend liked it.
I have not seen Assassin's Creed.
I have not seen it all the way through. I have it because there was a steelbook. But I fell asleep watching it, and then I went back to try and watch it again, and I fell asleep again. So I have not actually seen that whole movie.
Were you fully rested at the time you started?
No. I was going to watch a movie in bed, you know, and so I was fired up Assassin's Creed and fell asleep through it. I woke up the next day, and I was like, I should probably finish watching this. And I started it from the beginning and then nodded back off. And then I think I tried it again before I went to bed some other night, and again, crashed.
In Origin, you could get the movie outfit for Bayek.
Oh, okay. You know, from the movie?
Yeah, from the movie. Did you see the Timothy Oliphant
Hitman?
Hitman?
Yes.
Was that?
That's the only Hitman I saw. I know they redid, or they did another
they
one.
Did, yeah, they did a second one.
I didn't
Agent
see
47.
That. Yeah, I did not see that. I think I have it, but I did not see it.
Was the first one any, was it worth watching?
I don't remember.
Oh, all right.
So probably not.
That probably tells me everything I need to know about it.
That kind of really gives you the heads up on that. So.
And I didn't watch Warcraft.
You should. You should. I'm not familiar at all with source material for Warcraft, with basically just rather very basic knowledge. So I really enjoyed it. I remember some critics
talking about Warcraft, that Warcraft movie. It was like, anyway, if you weren't human, you really put out a good performance, but the humans in there were just flat and
that's what I've heard from, yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't nothing exciting about it.
People
about
who were fans of the game didn't. I don't know that they were a fan of the film, or they thought it really used a lot of. It took a lot of liberties with some of the things. I can't remember. I don't know.
Isn't that generally the problem with the video game movies? A whole bunch of liberties being taken.
How do you distill something that could be potentially hundreds of hours down to two?
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, exactly. So, or something that even gives you player agency, like a video game does, down to an Granted, some games try to be more movie-like, you know, like David Cage's stuff or Kojima's stuff, where you're watching cutscenes for 2 hours long before you actually, like, do anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to go from one to the other, I would think. You know?
Mm-hmm. We don't have much time left, but just a couple of quick hits. Nintendo is going to reveal more details about their online service sometime next month.
Okay.
And by next month, I mean May, which is coming up very, very soon.
Yeah, in how many days?
Yeah, what, Wednesday? Or is it Tuesday? Tuesday, I think, is May. Yeah, Tuesday is May 1st. So very, very soon we'll have some more information about the online service coming to Switch, whatever they're going to do there. Fortnite is now apparently the largest free-to-play console game of all time.
Meh.
I know.
For the month, yay for those. I have people at work that just come up to me like, oh, you playing Fortnite? And I'm like, no.
Nope.
Like, oh, why not? I just don't have any interest.
It generated $223 million across all platforms, up 73% from February. It beat both PUBG in both revenue and monthly active. But this is for console. And of course, PUBG is only on Xbox right now. Fortnite's...
NPC.
On both.
Oh, yeah.
On both.
Yeah,
everything. Yeah, on both of them. So, yeah, that's kind of explains itself.
Yeah.
Witcher TV series? I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's next year, I think. Something like that.
Are they going to do something with Zelda for that, too? Hmm? TV series?
Mm-hmm. There was talk to watch. Yeah, like a Netflix series, I thought.
Yeah.
Well, that's the guys who did Valiant Hearts are working on another game.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. It was released from Ubisoft.
It's Ubisoft, but it was from their
I forget which division.
It was one of their other divisions, but it was Digix Art, D-I-G-I-X Art.
Okay.
From, so they are working on another World War One game called 1111, Memories Retold.
I like that.
Yeah. I do not know when this is due out. There is a launch trailer for it, which I will plug into the chat room there so you guys can see that. But it's nice. And I'm very interested in seeing what they do with that. So it was good to hear that was going to be released. And
trailer for Shadow of the Tomb Raider dropped yesterday.
Right.
Interesting?
I don't know. It's a trailer to. Yeah. It doesn't convey a story to me, just yet.
A location, at least. You know.
It does give us a location, but there's absolutely no gameplay shown.
No.
There, not that we need gameplay after it's already had two games previous. We understand how it's going to... Yeah, we kind of know that.
If you don't know what Tomb Raider is by now, then this is probably not the one for you.
But I'm still not sure. I don't know if I can do it again. I don't know if I can do it for the third time.
I can.
That's fine,
can.
Man.
I definitely can.
I didn't finish the second time. There was so much to do, I didn't finish
it. There was a lot to do.
Yeah.
I think I Matt asked you about earlier about when we were talking about Jurassic Park. You feel the same way, Scott? More of the same? I've been through this before.
The second one did feel that way, although it did give you a new location. It gave you a bigger hub to deal with, and I enjoyed that. It gave you a lot to do, and I think that might be my issue with it, which I know can't have too much of a good thing, but maybe you can. Once I made it to like the next village or whatever it was after the main hub, I made it to another village, and I was tired. I think you have to prepare for an incoming attack in that village or something. I can't remember, but...
Do you know what I would like to see? Tomb Raider do something like Uncharted 2, when you get to Nepal, and you're sort of like walking around, and there's people there, and, you know, it seems like a lived-in community before the attack. I would like
These
to
are
see
all abandoned places that you go to. Yeah.
And as much as I do like the tombing and the raiding and
the
stuff
tombing?
Like that.
Yeah, the tombing? You like the tombing?
Yes. I would like to see more of a world where the only other people that you're really in contact with are bad guys. You know, I would like to see like a lived-in world, you know, where, you know, Laura could be walking around and just, you know, explore a little bit without having... You know, like, oh, the I know how to shoot this person. Like, oh, look, it's just a civilian or NPC. So yeah, I would like that.
Instead of just action from the get-go, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to end it here because I got something else going on here pretty soon that I got to get to as soon as we're done. So I want to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room and everybody listening on the stream and on the radio. I want to thank everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We do appreciate it. Dug up the old Zoom recently. I did. I still have it. The Halo
You're the
3.
One that bought it.
The Halo 3 branded Zoom. Still got it.
If it still works, have at it.
Yeah. Go to ingamechat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel if you're watching us on Twitch. You can subscribe to our Twitch channel. Steam, we've got a Steam group. Xbox One, we got a group there. PS4, we got a group there. We got a Discord and all that other stuff. So anyway.
BattleTech and challenge me.
Have a great week. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next Saturday. Music here from Castle Crashers is what we're going out with. Did anybody come up with anything? Obviously not, because I am not good at making puzzle games like this. These were all games from Xbox Live Arcade. I told you to think general aspect.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Too broad.
Very broad. Very, very broad. Have a great week. See you next Saturday.